This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 221 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, January 13th, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, I don't know if it's still raining where you are, but it is frigid cold here. I mean, we've had a pretty decent winter so far, but today it's snowy, it's cold, it's le miserable.
Well, we have snow too, but it's up on the mountains, so I haven't seen any. But yes, it stopped raining here. I think next week we might get some more. But yeah, we're back. It is cooling off in other parts of the country, and it is getting a little chilly here in Southern California. It did hit 60 degrees the other day, so I feel your pain, my friend.
So we got a great guest on tonight that we'll get to here in a little bit. We're going to talk about membership sites and a product called Memberium with Micah Mitchell. So look forward to that. But before we do that, we have some housekeeping items we want to take care of. And first, we have a brand new iTunes review, and this is from Greg Hyatt, and he says, I've been using WordPress to produce and deliver stunning websites. He started using WordPress almost 8 years ago. So that's about, let's see, 2000. Okay, that's kind of around the time where I started WordPress Tavern. It might have been before that. He says he fell across WordPress Weekly last year, and he's been listening faithfully ever since. He currently subscribes to the show via Stitcher, so there's our second listener via Stitcher Radio, so that's cool. And he says, if you're looking for amazing ideas and topics that will take you to the next level of your WordPress development, then I encourage you to listen to our show with me and Marcus Couch. And he says, these two dynamic talents truly bring you the very best in both helpful topics. And Marcus's plugin picks of the week, and he says, whether you are a developer or just a WordPress hobbyist, you always take away something useful from listening to this amazing podcast. If you haven't done so yet, let me recommend it. Thanks for providing such an informative and useful podcast to us. And that was from, again, Greg Hyatt. Greg, thank you very much for that feedback. And, well, Marcus, that's awesome to hear that we do have at least two people confirmed that subscribe to the show via Stitcher Radio.
It's very convenient. So thank you very much, Greg, for reaching across the bridge, and even though you listen in Stitcher, to go over to iTunes and leave us that review. So good example to the other listeners of the podcast to leave us a review. And remember, if you'd like to put your website in there as well, then we'll read it on the show and put it in the show notes. You get a little link love with that as well. So thank you very much, Greg, and keep them coming.
So in last week's episode, 220, I ended up doing a bit of a rant, and we had a sort of a lengthy discussion about Automattic's relationship with WordPress, and it was sort of a conversation we were having about the, you know, conspiracy or the thought process or the perception, believing the perception that Automattic controls and owns the WordPress project, or at least dictates how it's developed, which is not the case. But we did receive a couple of comments on that on the show notes post. In fact, one by Matt Mullowick himself, and I'll read his comment off because it's funny to me. I mean, some people may, you know, look at it weird or whatever. But he says, "Quote on behalf of the Bilderberg Group, Illuminati, the Committer Cabal, Forbes 30 Under 30 Alumni, World Economic Forum, and the Freemasons, I'd like to thank you for convincing the world that Automattic doesn't run WordPress," end quote. Now, that to me is just, I'm sorry, I read that and I had a good laugh. I mean, that's funny to me because of the topic at hand. And we also had a comment from someone who represents the lizard people. So that was interesting feedback. Now, I know somebody also said that they felt that it was unfair to group everyone who's confused the relationship between Automattic and WordPress as conspiracy theorists. And again, this gentleman, Mark, mentions, you know, how Matt is the CEO of Automattic, and he, and we already touched on this in the previous episode, but, you know, he believes that the delineations between where something begins and where something stops are pretty obscured, and the lines are blurred which, you know, I can agree to a point, but, you know, the moral of the story was from last week's episode is that Automattic does not own or control the WordPress project. It's not actually owned by anyone. It's owned by the people, if you want to, you know, actually say who it's owned by. But a great episode. We had a great conversation, and I got a real kick out of that. That, you know, on behalf of all those groups, you know, they appreciated, you know, us clarifying the fact that Automattic does not run WordPress.
Yeah, and I went back to listen to the show again, and I kind of snickered to myself hearing us talk about Adobe WordPress.
Oh, yeah.
If it were Adobe running WordPress, would anybody care what the CEO's role in the company was in relation to the software? I doubt it.
No. So there's that. Appreciate the feedback on episode 220. But here we are. We're at episode 221, and we're going to talk about membership websites. So, Marcus, why don't you tell us a little bit about who our guest is tonight?
Our guest today is Micah Mitchell, who is a partner at Memberium, a membership development and management plugin for WordPress that connects to Infusionsoft. Now, Micah recognized the need for better membership software while he was a CRM consultant and found that standard membership platforms available at the time were difficult to use, had tons of performance issues, or just simply lacked support. So his partner created Memberium to address those problems, and Micah came on board shortly after. He blogs regularly about membership sites in general and is a trusted resource on the topic. Thank you for joining us, Micah Mitchell.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
So I want to talk just broadly about membership sites first. What would make someone want to make a membership site versus other platforms of just putting out an ebook or trying to sell it or straight up consulting? What kind of benefits does one get in turning their site into a membership site?
So what we get is like the typical case is somebody is really good at whatever they do. They're like a really good attorney or, you know, just any sort of usually service type business. And then they make a membership site for a couple of reasons. One, they're trying to create passive income so they can stop trading time for dollars. A lot of them also create it to really just get their message out. So there's another kind of type who is just trying to get their message out to a broader audience. They realize, you know, I'm doing this really great service, but I can only help so many people. And, you know, scaling knee to knee or whatever isn't really what they want to do or build a big service team. And so they'll build a membership site to help a wider audience. And then some companies, I mean, there's a lot of uses, but some companies will also use it just as a supplemental thing, so not to replace their service, but to provide part of the service that they also provide in person or whatever. And there's other uses. People use it for internal training for their teams, and there's a lot of good reasons for that. But most of the people who we get are really, you know, good at providing some sort of service that has an information aspect to it, and then they try to put that into a membership site. There's other services where it turns from, you know, we do it for you to a do-it-yourself, you know, so it's not all information-based. Some of it is more tangible, but that's mostly what it is.
Yeah, and then, I was checking out the showcase for all the different websites that are highlighted using Memberium, which we'll get into in a little bit, and I noticed just about all of them, it all comes down to selling their knowledge. It comes down to education and wanting people to pay for that material so they end up becoming paying members on those websites.
Yeah.
And it also has something to do with a layer of security, right? Sometimes you just don't want to put things out to the public where you may have customers that don't even pay, but you just want somebody to log in and have something that's relatively secret, right? In terms of videos or content or things like that. So it doesn't always have to be just a full-on monthly membership thing. You can also use it just to manage and even sometimes just personalize your content. So of those, Micah, what are some of the more kind of obscure kinds of membership sites that you've seen?
Oh, obscure. That's a funny question. So one that pops into mind right away is there's a company who does franchising. And so their membership site is actually for their franchisees and the staff of their franchisees to you know, learn basically how to run the system. So like you're saying, they want to just keep that secure, and so only the franchisees and their staff are able to log in to learn how to do all the different stuff related to it.
So in some sense, it kind of replaces the old school intranet, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like a private intranet on the web, funny enough.
Yeah, that's cool. And so let's just we can kind of transition into Mimbarium, which is a solution that you had created in order to kind of address membership sites along with a CRM platform and specifically Infusionsoft. But without breaking down into Infusionsoft, what are some of the perils and things that you see with some of the membership platforms out there as they exist today?
Yeah, so I've been through a couple iterations of different, like, Infusionsoft connected membership sites, but in general, the whole idea is these general membership plugins, the best thing about them is they work with everything, and the worst thing about them is that they work with everything. They just don't specialize that far into anything. So what we're kind of doing, and there's kind of a breed of membership sites that are this way where they say, let the CRM drive, because the customer's got the CRM, that's really running their business, and so let's work with it and, you know, work the way it wants us to work and get really deep into that. So for us, for example, integrating to Infusionsoft, Infusionsoft is kind of a lifestyle choice in a way, because it takes over a lot of what the business is doing for most people, not for everybody, but when they really use every aspect, it takes over a lot of that. And so that's kind of the difference between just, you know, a general membership site plugin hooked up to PayPal to take payments and facilitate that whole thing, versus, you know, Infusionsoft or some CRM is running your whole business, and this is just one component that plugs in, and we have to do it efficiently because it uses their API and some of that.
And so let's get into that. What does it replace in terms of when you make that jump into Infusionsoft? What parts of business and, you know, online and otherwise does it replace that a typical business person would be doing?
So Infusionsoft kind of sells themselves as all-in-one sales and marketing software, and they've tried to sell as different things in the past, but I think that's a pretty accurate. Like, they're good at being all-in-one, so they may not be, and I hope they don't hate me for saying this, they may not be like the very best shopping cart or the very best email or the very best any one component, but they're the best at putting it all together so that in the same system you can run your e-commerce and your affiliates. Through different plugins, you can manage your outside shopping carts, outside websites through WordPress, and have the whole thing in one roof so that, you know, if this thing happens way over here, like if a customer buys, then it can email the customer, it can email the affiliate who sold the customer, it can pay the affiliate, it can queue off fulfillment, it can kind of just automate all that. So a lot of businesses using Infusionsoft will kind of start with just marketing automation, but it can do all sorts of operations and process automation as well.
So on such a big platform like that, and how many users does Infusionsoft have now? Is it around 100,000?
That's their goal. I don't think they're quite there yet. They might be halfway there or so.
And so dealing with, even though that, I mean, that's still a lot of numbers, maybe not as big as something, you know, comparable like Salesforce, but it does so many things that Salesforce doesn't do at a pretty nominal cost. But when you're dealing with a platform like that, I mean, ideally you could probably classify Mimbarium as kind of almost middleware, but what are some of the challenges that you faced when developing something like this from a plugin standpoint where you're dealing with the CRM side of that mammoth platform and WordPress at the same time? What kind of, did you come into any compatibility issues, or what were some of the biggest challenges in building that bridge?
So I would say some of the main challenges are that where Infusionsoft does so much, the user has this really wide array of needs. You know, they're not just saying, I want to deliver a really basic membership. It's not just, hey, they pay, they get access. There's all sorts of different payment plans that they can be on. They want to be able to comp access to people. We do some parent-child relationships where the parent user can purchase the access and then have kind of sub-licensees underneath them who also come in and have access to different parts. And, you know, the affiliate automation, so inside the membership site, the affiliates can also log in and get their affiliate resources, their banner and swipe copy and things like that. And probably the main thing we deal with, you know, technologically connecting to the API and getting the data, there are some tricks there, but it's not, you know, that's probably not the most complicated. It's actually dealing with customers because we provide high-touch support. And in their minds, they don't draw the line between this is an Infusionsoft question and that's a membership question. They ask us all sorts of crazy stuff, and it's hard for us, too, to draw that line and still provide a good support experience. So we end up doing almost Infusionsoft consulting and support in the process of trying to help them use the membership site software because we do integrate to all of those pieces. So it's kind of self-inflicted.
And not to mention probably support on the WordPress end as well for those that aren't too familiar with the platform. You might get some converts, right, that are Infusionsoft people that then migrate over to WordPress for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. We deal with, like you said, we're middleware, but everything we touch, they assume we know about. So they're asking us about themes, other plugins besides ours, all sorts of stuff.
And so in terms of what Membarium does, how just describe, I guess, the in terms of how it works with WordPress, what the setup process is like, and you know how quickly you can get the two platforms talking to each other.
Yeah, so it was kind of funny because we, when we entered this space, tried to be the easier to use solution for Infusionsoft, and we actually solved that. But then when we look at other plugins, we realize, okay, we're easier to use than the other Infusionsoft plugins, but other WordPress plugins are just awesome. You know, they're so easy to use, and part of that's in that they're, you know, targeting a more specific need. But essentially what we're doing is you install Membarium on your WordPress site, and then the whole authentication, the whole process of logging in, no longer drives from the WordPress database, it drives from the Infusionsoft database. And so every time they log in, it sucks down all their information from Infusionsoft, depending on what you need. That can also include their order history, their payment details, and stuff like that, so that the member inside the site, it can be customized. You know, it can say, hey, Marcus, and take you around. It knows what you've bought. It can really tailor the whole experience. You know, if you're a gold member, you can have a totally different theme than a silver member, as well as different pages and all that. And so that's what we're doing, is we're using the Infusionsoft database as the WordPress user database. And we also sync the data from Infusionsoft to WordPress. And without getting too much on the nerdy end, we're essentially populating WordPress so that other plugins who also want to use that WordPress user's database are able to. So it also makes it compatible with a bunch of things. And that's our concept overall, is not like we're trying to provide a ton of functionality. We try to provide a ton of integration so that they can use all these awesome WordPress plugins, because we'll never be able to outdo BuddyPress on social, you know what I mean? And there's so many things that do a good job of what they do, and so we just try to connect that bridge.
And because it's connected, Membarium's connected in Infusionsoft, as the listeners will know, back last year in June, we had Josh Millage and another gentleman on the show where we talked about Lifter LMS and also Infusionsoft, and we learned that with Infusionsoft, you can determine, like, for example, training videos. You can determine at what length a person stopped watching the video, and based on that, you could trigger a different action, which it sounds like you could do something similar to where, based on where they're at on your membership site or what they've purchased or the content they've consumed, you could trigger an upsell or some other action because, again, it's connected to Infusionsoft. Is this right?
Yeah, you can definitely, you know, the part of the concept of follow-up marketing with Infusionsoft is it follows up to get them to take an action, like, let's say, watch a video or complete a course or whatever, and then follows up based on that action. So the whole time they're going through, it's mixing the multi-channel communication, you know, emails and other stuff you want to do based on what they're doing to try to make it seem customized and somewhat intelligent.
In other words, you can put, I don't know, how do you describe it, cookies or pixels, whatever, tracking on a page level and then execute actions of that individual user based on their activity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can do like, hey, they visited this particular page, let's run some actions. And some people get fancy and say, well, you know, after they've visited 10 pages and been around for at least 2 weeks or whatever, then is the time to upsell them after they've engaged to a certain point versus trying to upsell them right away. And all of that is available. Then it's up to people to kind of figure out their strategy for it.
Yeah, and the thing about Infusionsoft is it works with tags, so that's something that WordPress people are well familiar with. So it's almost like a state of what the person is in. So yes, if they went to a specific page, say you were selling tickets to an event or something like that, it would market to them X amount after they visit this particular page, and provided that the condition that they didn't already purchase tickets to the event, in which case it wouldn't market to them to something they've already purchased. It may try and upsell them to a premium package or something like that, but are those typically the kinds of case scenarios that you see with the software?
Yeah, a lot of the time. You know, like kind of a corny example, but common is people have like gold, silver, bronze, or whatever they want to call it, you know, basic, pro, premium. And whenever a basic member's in there, the site is serving all the stuff to them to try to get them to upgrade to pro. And whenever a pro member's in, they try to get them up to premium and so on. And it can do some interesting things too, where it'll, let's say, try to sell you the premium membership. And you click and you go view the premium sales page. Once it knows you viewed the page, it stops trying to directly sell it to you, and it can start a sequence that, let's say, just overcomes objections. Like, hey, we noticed you visited the page. Most people don't buy for X, Y, or Z. And so here's, you know, kind of overcoming those.
And, yeah, and the neat thing about it is that it does take it in those stages, and you can, like, for instance, the most powerful thing about it is that it continually builds an activity stream, so to speak, of what your members are doing on the site. So then it lets you also, you know, get really good stats in terms of content and what was viewed the most and in terms of your existing membership. But I'm always impressed with Infusionsoft, but most people call it Confusionsoft. In terms of different circles and Facebook groups and things, what are some of the perils of getting involved in something like that? What are the common mistakes for anybody that's listening that might want to get into it? What are the things to avoid when you first get Infusionsoft?
Yeah, it's a good question. And some of that is like latent from before, as far as they used to be more confusing. They have simplified the interface, but even today, it is confusing, and there's a couple reasons for that. One is because they do so much, and because it is so, you know, everything is interrelated, it's hard for people to intuitively grasp that if I do this in this part of the system, these other things are going to happen way over here. And so that, when a lot of people get into it, what they'll, you know, some of the main problems are they'll go in and just set up a ton of garbage. They'll think, you know, I need this year-long sequence, and so they'll just put in garbage stuff to try to make a year-long sequence. And when you see a good implementation, or really what I try to coach people to do, and I've been doing it for over 10 years now, is when you make something small, you know, kind of like little test things, little pilot things, and if it works, grow it. You know, like if that email is good, or if people are engaged in this sequence, then let's keep building on the sequence. And if not, let's do something else. But people will, they'll literally go in and say, well, you know, so-and-so guru that I follow, he has a 2-year follow-up, so I'm going to write 100 emails to go out every week for 2 years, and they don't understand that they're just automating crap. Like, if you know, automated crap doesn't work any better than nothing, essentially. So that's, you know, you don't just automate for automation's sake is a big thing. And then also I would say start super small in every case, because the other thing people do is they'll over plan and just become paralyzed. You know, they'll sit and try to design the perfect system instead of just like, well, do something, do anything small, get it off the ground, and then learn as you go, versus try to over-design this big elaborate thing when you have no experience yet automating.
Right. And one of the things about Membarium that I thought was really nice is the fact that when you compose, let's just say, a new post or a new page, you have every option on the right sidebar, right next to the publish button, in terms of what membership level gets to see that. And if it comes from Google, you can actually give somebody the first, you know, the first view free if they're not a member, if it happens to be indexed, which is great because then you get lead-ins. But you can also use the short codes within the post to put specific paragraphs or content in there based solely on the membership level of the person. So realistically, you could create one page that looks completely different based upon what your membership level is on the site or whether you're even logged in. And you can do personalization in terms of addressing their first name or any other kind of tag within or field within Infusionsoft. So often, Micah, what I do is actually drive email campaigns that go to a personalized page where it addresses them by name, and you know, you can even incorporate parts of their address or anything that's within the data fields of Infusionsoft. So I got to thank you, at least in terms of the ease of use, integrating content in there. What are some of the other things that it can do within one page, within different membership groups that maybe I may have overlooked?
Yeah, so like you said, we can, you know, protect the whole page, of course, but then also parts of a page. And a lot of times with a sales letter, and you brought up the example of an event, so those are kind of fun because based on the membership level of, let's say, the member logged in, you can offer them, let's say, special pricing. You know, so as a gold member, you get so much off the ticket price, or as a silver member or whatever. And if they are already registered and they go back to that page, this is what I think is useful is, you know, yes, customizing the page itself, but also just knowing that you're going to have other things. You're going to have banners and things like that leading back to it. And so if they do come to it and it knows they're already registered, then it could just have a second condition that says, well, if so, show the VIP upsell. And if they are already registered as a VIP, show them a welcome message that's like, you know, hey, you're registered as a VIP. We're looking forward to seeing you. Here's the logistics. If you have any questions, enter them below. So it's really, you know, it's like if you went up to the front desk of a place and they looked up your account and they're looking at your account and can address you based on whatever you've done, you know, and can tailor any part of it.
Right. So then that landing page for that event can actually change after they've registered and even give opportunities for them to socially share it with that same landing page link or that page link, but the person who isn't registered gets just that sell copy, right?
Yeah, because when they hit the site, they're not logged in. Yeah, sales copy, or else, you know, if you're already a member, log in kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, so, we've mentioned the connection with Infusionsoft. Can Memberium work well on its own without the connection to Infusionsoft? And if so, what can it do to really stand out on its own compared to other membership site plugins?
So just like the generalists have a problem, we have the same problem. We're specialized and we only work with Infusionsoft. And it's kind of our strength and our weakness. We are making a second version for just ActiveCampaign, but we define what we do as CRM-driven, highly automated membership sites. So we don't work standalone. We have no interest in it. Part of the reason for that is because if we were standalone, we'd have to create functionality that exists in Infusionsoft that would start to make the plugin heavy.
Yeah, I mean, why recreate the wheel if somebody out there is already doing it, doing a very good job of it?
Yeah.
Well, so speaking of, so it works well with Infusionsoft, but as I understand it, Memberium also includes support with some popular plugin integrations. Can you sort of highlight some of those?
Yeah, so BB Press for forums, Buddy Press for social networks, LearnDash and Lifter LMS. There's a whole bunch of LMSs nowadays, learning management systems like Lifter, and those are becoming crazy popular, especially in the last year where most people now, they don't necessarily just want to make a membership site. They want to make a membership site where as the member goes, the lessons they've seen have like a green check mark by them, and they see a progress bar of how far through the course they are. And when they finish, they get a certificate and all that. And so we tie into some of those where every single lesson they finish, we can trigger off different automation in Infusion. And, you know, if they earn the certificate, we can trigger off automation for that to send it to them. And I'll digress for just a minute, but in the membership site space, that's the big new trend is these certifications. Essentially, you used to be able to just like, I'm selling my content, it's premium content, and people would go in and there'd be a bunch of videos or a bunch of content, and that seemed valuable. But now there's this whole movement toward really guiding people through the content, kind of spoon-feeding it to them and controlling the way that they consume it in a good way to optimize the experience, and then also like gamifying it to where everything that they, if they finish a video, it pops up, gives them 10 points. If they finish a module, they get like a badge or whatever. And that's becoming really popular. And so we're focused quite a bit, and most of the questions from membership sites that are growing are about how to do that. And that's all about engagement and retention for them to keep their members longer.
Hey, there you go, Marcus. I just digged up a golden nugget for you, the latest trend in membership sites.
Well, I agree, and it's I want to, you know, step back a bit too, and remember, this isn't always just about content in terms of somebody trying to sell education or information. Jeff, you could literally have a lawn mowing company, and on your website, you just let your customers go into the back end, and with it, you could see different records about the account that go through Infusionsoft within the CRM system, and it shows all the activity, or, you know, maybe some notes about, okay, you better check the crabgrass next to the oak tree out back, or any of that stuff. And this could do it to where it has not an Infusionsoft login for your customer, but a front-facing WordPress base that we're all so familiar with. And I've seen membership sites for people that come and, you know, do maintenance on your home in terms of check your gutters every month, you know, to make sure. And then they, you know, just charge you a flat rate. I've seen barbers that do membership and subscriptions, you know, a flat rate, get you whatever, you know, haircuts, X amount of haircuts a month, come in and get your beard trimmed, whatever it happens to be. So it goes way beyond just educational marketing and things. There's a huge market behind this if you use the tools right. And so things like Mimbarium and Infusionsoft and obviously WordPress, they're all just tools, and you have to use them in the right way and make sure that, you know, the wrench hits the head of the bolt so you can turn it properly rather than just trying to throw them all in a pile and pretend that you've got a foundation. So what are the biggest, I would guess, mistakes that people have made in terms of membership sites? Do they overcomplicate them? Do they, Micah, what is your experience in that? You know, you've kind of probably with Mimbarium given birth to so many web membership sites. What are the hugest kind of mistakes people make?
Yeah, so definitely overcomplicating, and I would say like what goes hand in hand with that in a way is overcommitting. So someone will say, I'm going to sell this membership site and I'm going to include every bell and whistle in the world, you know, to try to get people in, and they think they're creating this great thing. But the worst thing in the world, like just worse than, you know, I'll spare the vulgar references, but is if you build a big, amazing membership site and you get like 5 members, because then you're doing all that work for 5 members, you know, for almost no money. And so a lot of people, they'll come out of the gates trying to make this system because, again, they're listening to some guru and they're like, I need this and this and this and this and this and all this functionality, versus just like, well, do you have a business model behind this? How do you know this is going to sell? And it's not to be pessimistic, but it's those are the people I feel worst for, is when they have a few members that they're then on the hook to provide all this for, because it's one to many. So they're all trying to scale themselves and go one to many, but if they don't get many, you know, and they're doing the same amount of work, whether it's 5 people or 500. And so, yeah, that's the worst, is they overcommit out of the gates and overcomplicate out of the gates, thinking that it's, you know, having a forum or having social interaction that's going to make their stuff valuable versus having the content itself be valuable from the get-go. You know, if they're using a membership site to try to make their stuff valuable, that's much different from someone who has something valuable and is using it just to scale it.
That's a good point. It reinforces the tool aspect of it.
I'd much rather have something of value that people want versus trying to make something valuable through the website. Seems like one would work better than the other.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Mimbarium. What are some of the things that you're developing in terms of additions to the platform, core features, maybe, you know, integration, that maybe some of the things like Plus This or any of those other plugins are doing? What's on the horizon?
Yeah, so we are trying to work with most everything. Like I said, we're integration, and so we love the guys at Plus This. We're working with them. And anybody who makes Infusionsoft add-on software, we're just asking them the question of how we can integrate to them. So always trying to integrate with stuff. But our main push right now is just making it easier to use. Like I said, we are the easier-to-use plugin, and we've really pushed on that, and we try to, you know, overhaul it all the time. But just recently, I went and looked at a ton of membership plugins. And so for people who don't use Infusionsoft, for example, there's some really good ones. Zippy Courses is really cool. And what's another one? MemberPress is cool. And these things, they're more general. And so they have some of that other stuff to them, you know, like payments and so on through PayPal. But just going through them, it's like, wow, I was on a call with a client, actually, and he's got this assistant. And bless her heart, she's just the worst person to provide technical support to. Just like, you know, distracted by anything that comes up and freaking out. And I watched as she created a course with Zippy Courses. And I was just like, how, like, it was amazing. She was able to create the whole thing herself. And she had me on the call because she knew she was going to get stuck. And she didn't get stuck. And I just watched. And I thought, that is, like, has got to be the best user experience for creating a membership site. And so we're trying to model them, and they're a broad kind of general thing. We're trying to model them for the Infusionsoft space. So there's some twists and turns there, but definitely making it even more user-friendly because we get, you know, some people are technical when they come in. They're a WordPress expert or some, you know, familiar with technology. And other people who come in, which we get a fair number of people who are just like, you know, I'm the world's best yoga instructor or whatever, but I don't know anything about technology. Can I build a membership site? You know, and so we're trying to get to the level where we can say yes. And now we say, we'll definitely support you and help you through that. But we can't with confidence be like, yeah, you can do it with no technical experience. And so we're working on that, you know, version that grandma can use easily.
Yeah, and I really liked it within the documentation of Memberium that certain functions that you'd want to have, like where someone can change their account page and things like that, where you just kind of have set up and predetermined one short code that kind of presents what an entire page should be in terms of what somebody can change on their account. Are there more of those kinds of things in the works where it's kind of maybe wizard-driven and it creates pages that are already pre-configured?
Yeah, we're close enough to it that I don't mind saying it, but we haven't really, so I'll announce it here because we haven't told anybody about this.
Exclusive,
but,
all right.
We've been really pounding away on page templates and email templates, and so in the next version, you'll be able to just push a button and it'll install about 20 pages in the website that have those common collections of short codes that all the sites want to use. And before, they'd have to just go kind of cobble it together. And so now you'll just be able to install where there's a registration page, a thanks page, a login page, a logged out page, a no access page, my account, my payments, my profile, and so on. And then corresponding emails that are used with those. So that's when I say we want it to be that easy for somebody to use. They can just pop in and go through the wizard and, you know, do you want to install these pages? Sure. And there they all are.
And I imagine a big reason for that, too, is to cut down on the support issues for those particular issues, huh?
Yeah, because even though we've done a better job probably even since you set up of documenting some of those things, we are kind of seeing that people don't read the documentation, and so we're hoping that the wizard can do most of the work. And then even after the wizard, they'll be installable from the dashboard. But, yeah, it's a... We provide high-touch support, and that can be grueling. It's good support, but, man, it's keeping that promise is tough.
Yeah, and I've experienced the support. I've actually probably logged 4 or 5 tickets, and I can say the response was always pretty great, and I even just got a phone call a couple times so that they could completely understand the issue and really work through it with me, including logging in and taking a look at specific pages. So I got to commend your support team as well. They've done a great job for me personally.
Yeah, thank you. And it's not common for WordPress plugins, but people, since they use Infusionsoft and Infusionsoft has such great support, it's funny because some people they'll complain like that we didn't answer their call and they had to leave a voice message, and it's like you know this is a WordPress plugin, right?
So yeah, Jeff, well, I don't know of anybody that does that. Do you?
Yeah, no, of course not. I mean, there's no one out there who feels entitled Well, you know, so you talk about integration, and we know Infusionsoft, we've talked about that, but what about, so we interviewed a gentleman on here not too long ago from, are you familiar with a company called Zapier?
Zapier.
Yeah. Zapier. Yeah. And that service is all, it's like API heaven. It connects you to so many different services to accomplish so many different tasks. So does, are you able to implement different Zapier things into Memburium and Infusionsoft to extend it even more beyond what it already does?
Yeah, actually. So one of the fun things about being middleware between Infusionsoft and WordPress is that, you know, WordPress itself, it's got a million spokes coming off it with all the themes and plugins, and then Infusionsoft has all these spokes coming off. So people will definitely use Zapier with Infusionsoft, and it's kind of like Infusion becomes the middleware between us and Zapier and whatever it's connecting to, because it's what we tell people when they ask, you know, can I use this, can I use that? It's like, well, does it connect to Infusion? And if so, it works with Memberium. Or does it connect to WordPress? And if so, it works with Memberium. So we kind of get to piggyback on stuff like that. But yeah, people use Zapier to do, you know, I mentioned early on in the call, some of the physical fulfillment. So they'll hook Zapier up to a card service that sends out thank you cards that are handwritten, for example. So somebody signs up for your membership site, they get a handwritten thank you card in the mail, and they also get access to the WordPress site. And that's Zapier on the one end and us on the other of Infusionsoft.
Wow, that's nice. And, you know, it used to be where in order to connect all these different sites and services together, you'd have to use certain types of code, or you'd really have to have developer know-how about APIs. But now with services like Zapier and Infusionsoft, you just say, connect this to this, I want it to do this, and boom, it's done. Users are spoiled these days.
But it can, now imagine this. This is a real-world thing you could actually do, which is hook Zapier to Twitter, hook that also into Infusionsoft, which then hooks through Memberium into WordPress, and then when somebody completes a specific maybe course on your site, it could actually tweet to them at their Twitter name saying congratulations on passing the course and with a link to it.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. People are just so spoiled. They have no idea. Because all those use cases, like he's saying years ago, there's just no way unless you've got a programming team and a bunch of money. But, yeah, people are so spoiled, and you can do stuff like that. And, you know, we see more of that happening, like multi-channel communication about the delivery of their products, and it's just amazing. I don't know where it will end, but I kind of feel like I'm starting to get old with all the kids doing their cool stuff now.
No, with Marcus's example there, I start to get a hint of the things that are the possibilities between all these services and Memburium and Infusionsoft, and then now I can sort of understand it's very tempting and easy for people to go overboard with their membership sites of wanting to create all these different actions, and you know, it's probably very easy to complicate things, to do too many things.
Yeah, especially
because they can, and it's so easy to do.
Yep, and especially doing them up front. And it's the people who think that those are the requirements to launch that have the problem. You know, it's doing that in and of itself is good, but like holding up your site launch and holding up getting feedback from the market until you've integrated something like that's like, slow down, buddy.
I can imagine. So how big is the team at Memburium?
There's 9 of us. One of them is part-time, one is a little less than part-time, so I guess you'd say 7 full-time.
And so what kind of, obviously, you know, things are growing for you, and so what kind of roles do they have in terms of, like, how big is your development team and your support team? What's the range in there?
So coding-wise, it's a development team of 1. That's just Dave, my partner. The guy's amazing. I mean, he builds all of Ryan Dice's funnels and Jeff Walker's funnels, and so he's just at the top end of development and has been doing this for a long time. And so making the plugin, the fact that he's able to do that and all these custom projects and do support in the Facebook group and everything, it's kind of an animal. And I know that's not super sustainable long term, but kudos to Dave.
Wow.
And then our support, there's 4 in support, and I guess you'd say 2 in marketing, and then we have our partner manager, Rafaela, who her whole thing is just keeping in touch with the partner community. Infusionsoft has a robust partner community, so we kind of piggyback on that as far as we have a certified partner program and all that kind of stuff, and then our accountant.
Has Mambirium or the team run into any specific roadblocks as it deals specifically with WordPress? I mean, in terms of developing the plugin?
So recently, when WordPress 4.3 came out and they changed the way they do shortcodes, which they sprung on everybody, it was, you know, they kept it, how do I say this? They knew they had a problem, but they didn't want to tell everybody because it was a security issue and they didn't want people exploiting it. And so one day they rolled out a fix to it, which broke, like, all the shortcodes.
Was that, I think it was 4.3.
Yeah, so
that shortly after.
Yeah, that one was the only difficult thing with WordPress. Other than that, Dave is really good at playing by the WordPress rules. You know, everything he does, he tries to be on the up and up with WordPress so that as it upgrades, we don't worry about that. You know, so WordPress has been really smooth, except for that one that was kind of a surprise. And we get why it was a surprise. So, you know, stuff happens and we figured it out and fixed it. But that was probably the main hiccup.
Wow, that's cool. So just a fine example of if you play by the WordPress rules, you have a far less chance of getting burned when WordPress does any type of major updates to core. And that's a lesson out there for other developers that are thinking about getting into the market for whatever, even for free or commercial plugin. If you, you know, abide by sort of the best practices that are, you know, within the handbooks out there for developing for WordPress, you know, don't edit and manipulate core files, but do things by the book, and chances are you'll be unscathed as WordPress continues to enhance its platform.
Yeah, and that's been huge because one of our main competitors doesn't do that, and that was one of the big complaints in the marketplace and reasons that we started this was they were all so mad that every time WordPress updated, it broke their site. You know, until this other plugin caught up, and it's like, well, they're into stuff they shouldn't be into. And so, yeah, that's saved us so many times.
Is, you know, so there are other platforms out there, but Mambirium is specifically, I believe, for WordPress. What is it that WordPress has out of the box besides powering 25% of the web that enticed the team to create this type of solution for WordPress?
So it's funny, when I first started this, I actually created multiple membership integrations for Joomla and Infusionsoft, and it's only because I hadn't seen WordPress yet. When I first saw WordPress, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I get what Joomla is doing, but it's so much easier to use. Like, why all the complication? And so, I mean, it's probably also the reason they're now powering so much of the web is they're easier to use, but I just have no desire to go into any of those other platforms where they complicate it and the end user can use WordPress. And it's just, you know, when we move them off of other proprietary membership platforms that aren't WordPress or any sort of CMS base, we can say with confidence, like, yeah, you're going to be able to publish your content in WordPress. It's, you know, because they get scared by stuff like that.
No, it's funny because You're saying how you came to WordPress and found that it's so much easier and you know that people are going to be able to manage and publish your content, yet Marcus and I have talked about how there's this overwhelming sense that, yeah, WordPress is easy, but there's all these people out there who don't understand the differences between posts and pages and how that system works on WordPress. So there's still that gamut of user frustration, especially for newcomers that are just now discovering WordPress.
Yeah, it's true. I do remember go ahead.
I was going to say, how can we, Micah, you knowing the Infusionsoft world so much, how do we as WordPress community members, how do we wrangle more Infusionsoft people into our ranks? I guess through Mambirium, right? That's our commonality.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's an interesting question because we do solve the membership side of it, but there's so many other things. And I would say, you know, at least half of the Infusionsoft users use WordPress, probably more, might even be 75%. And I don't know what that is, like if it's just the type of users they are, but they have unlimited needs. I mean, they adopt new technology all the time. They're not afraid to spend money. I've really enjoyed working in the Infusionsoft space because you know, they're already spending so much on Infusionsoft, they're already at a level where you throw out a, you know, a plugin for $50 a month or even $100 a month, and as, if it solves one problem for them, they're all over it. They don't care because they're all trying to automate their income, and so, you know, they buy this one plugin and they get two members that they're charging $97 a month, done kind of thing. And so I would say pretty much anything in, you know, that you can help them with on their website. So like take membership sites out of the equation, take WordPress out of the equation, and think of these companies who are trying to automate their marketing, you know, connections with social platforms, Facebook and all that. Connections maybe that when they make a blog post, it's able to be automatically sent out by an email to a portion of their list. They'll buy pretty much anything that will make them even a tiny bit more money or even can get them one extra member because the numbers just work out for them. If they can get one, they can get two and three and ten.
Yeah, and even though the topic of today's show is more membership-oriented, Memberium and Infusionsoft combined with WordPress work excellent for e-commerce sites in general, right? I mean, there's so much that you can do with repeat buyers and exclusive products and automated discounts and things like that through the e-commerce system.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people will use even WooCommerce. Mm-hmm. And there's a connector for that to Infusionsoft. And so, again, like Infusionsoft's kind of the hub, and there's all these spokes. And so WooCommerce connects in, and it connects back out, you know, to Memberium. But, yeah, once you start mixing stuff like that, what some of the coolest sites I've seen are where they mix, you know, WooCommerce and BuddyPress and a learning management system and all that to where they're able to sell the member right there on the WordPress site, you know, auto-log them into the membership level, let them go in, and let's say they complete a course and it shares with all their friends and announces in the forum and whatnot that they are now certified in whatever it is, and they go up on the leaderboard, they've earned points and have a badge, and they can push that out to their own profile, like the interconnected, you know, kind of holistic membership or user experience in general that you can make is amazing. I've seen some sites lately that my clients have built that's like, I didn't realize you could do that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like you could create a page that's locked, and you could almost make it like a game, like you have to unlock it by completing level 2, and you know, it does all of that stuff, and even letting people into different BuddyPress groups based on their activity. And that's pretty powerful. So, you know, I my role, I guess, on this podcast frequently is approaching it from the developer, the designer end, the person out there that's maybe got an agency that does marketing and does design and website development and things for different companies. Knowing what we know now about Memberium and its capabilities, what is the best pitch for somebody that's got this kind of role of maybe a freelancer or somebody that does work for businesses, in terms of now they know what Memberium does, how do they frame what the entire package of integration is in terms of Infusionsoft, WordPress, and Memberium? Like, how do they pitch it?
So one of the things I'd say to anybody like that is make sure your client has something of value, something that you can actually leverage. And as long as they do have something of value, then it's a pretty easy pitch because you go in and it's, you know, you've got this thing and obviously it works. Do you want, you know, 10 times as many people to access it? And when they do you want them to access it more often, you know, more consistently and all that? Because with Infusionsoft, with this membership site and all of this, you can sell your product, but then you can actually follow up to get them to engage with it, to consume the content. You can track what they're doing and reward them. And ultimately, that client experience is going to lead to, Infusionsoft has a concept of lead scoring, but when they get to a certain level on the lead score, then you can start asking for referrals. You can start asking for upgrades. You can sell additional products. You can go deeper with this client and get them to refer and make a more sustainable business model off of whatever valuable product or service you have by leveraging it, magnifying it, and scaling it with all of this automation. If they don't have something to start with, it's a much harder sell. Some people will still buy it, but it won't be good for either of you.
And yeah, and that's all valid. I mean, that's exactly how you've got to frame it. You've got to make sure that it makes sense. And for the ones that it does make sense for, you could earn a pretty lucrative. Yeah, it's just you gotta really frame it correctly, and then talk about the benefits to the client. And you know, there's so much that you can do, but you got to make sure that it makes sense, you know, for that client to actually do those kinds of things. But you could easily pitch your dentist's office, people that do cosmetic surgery, those kinds of things, and even something as simple as doing appointment requests with follow-ups and reminders and such.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of fun about this. I feel like for anybody who's good or even decent, there is unlimited work in the Infusionsoft space because, yeah, there are so many businesses who hardly do anything. I mean, it's an effort to get them to even do a little follow-up marketing. But most businesses, like you're saying, especially as Infusion is now targeting more kind of brick-and-mortar service businesses, they need that appointment automation. They need the person at the front desk to collect an email and enter that in for a little email follow-up and nurture and stuff like that. And even those basic systems, I'm serious, it's like an unlimited market. I mean, it does probably, most people who come in, they're like, oh, how do I get clients? And they have to find out where people are interacting. But the need is so huge. We daily are turning several people over to our page where we list our implementation partners because they all have needs. And what's kind of sad about it is most people are not that competent. You know, the people who are good are booked up like nothing, and the people who are terrible are, you know, available. But it's just weird because people are clamoring for good services, good automation setup. And so, and I'm sure it's not just Infusion, but in general, if you can figure out how to automate a couple of things, there's enough real businesses out there. You know, like you talk to an online marketer and they might be making a few hundred thousand a year if they're doing okay. Some of them obviously better, you know, on the high end. But the offline businesses, you know, in every city in America, every single one of those is doing enough money that if you went and helped them automate a few systems, they'll make enough more money that you can get that monthly retainer and just keep automating.
Definitely. And, you know, Infusionsoft is so big that they actually have their own conference, much like what we have, WordCamps. So they're actually having their 10th annual user conference March 2nd through March 4th in Phoenix this year. And then you've got an event right after, right?
Yeah, we're piggybacking on that right across the street from where they're holding there so that all the people in town can come over to ours as well.
And so what's the event and what will they learn there in terms of, you know, the benefits of attending your conference?
So the Infusion conference is really general, right? There's like a lot of showcasing and keynote speakers and stuff like that. Ours mm-hmm. is actually called the Membership Implementation Summit. And so we're focused on building out a bunch of these key systems for a membership site. And it's not... we're not trying to be necessarily a newbie conference, so it's not like zero to hero, but it's if you've kind of got a membership site or you know you have a membership site going, we're going to help you implement all the best practices. So how to upgrade clients, how to let clients self-manage, how to implement a learning management system, and the follow-up to get your clients to engage and consume and refer and kind of taking the membership site to the next level, but it's highly focused on implementation. Like we'll teach the concept, but it comes along with here are all the templates and we're going to do this right now, and then we break into small groups. And we did this fall in Chicago, and it was a lot of fun where we just break into little groups of 4 to 6 people, and then they work out their strategy between themselves, so they get to kind of bounce it off the people there in the room as they're building it and get it done, and then you know come back and learn. So very workshop interactive style to try to get all of that implemented, and that was a big hit in the fall, and so we're just doing the same thing.
And so anybody that might be in the area that might want to attend, where do they find information about them?
It's at membership-summit.com.
Great. And then I know that you also have Infusionsoft training, right? It's your mastery.
mastery.
So that's mmmastery.com, and anybody who wants to learn a little bit more about that, that's a site that helps Infusionsoft training, and a lot of us you know, WordPress veterans out there, you get into Infusionsoft and it doesn't quite speak the same language, or it might be confusing in terms of tags as far as the vernacular of what you're used to, and then using things like Memberium to integrate it. It does take a little bit of a learning curve, but once you got it, you kind of freak out as to now what you can do within WordPress. So that's definitely something that people should check out if they're interested in getting some quick Infusionsoft training. Jeff, any follow-up from you in terms of any other questions you might have?
No, I mean, the only thing I'd like to address before we wrap it up here with Micah is some people may think that Memberium is free. Can you tell us whether it is free or not? And if not, what are some of the price points you have available for people?
Yeah, I wish we could make it free. We're trying to figure out a way to do that.
Then you probably wouldn't have a job if it was free.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's been a weird kind of thing thinking about that, because we want to provide the high level support. But no, it is. So it starts at $47 a month for a domain, and that includes, you know, subdomains and things like that. Or if you want unlimited domains, then we license by the Infusionsoft application at $87 a month. So still not terrible, but yeah, those are. It's not a free one, and our excuse for the time being is that we can't provide the support we want to and make it free, and we like providing that full experience so stuff gets done.
It is fully compatible, right? It works on multi-site, right? All the different iterations of WordPress.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, support is the killer of a business. Well, I don't want to say killer of the business. I would say support is probably one of the most expensive parts of running the business, especially as it relates to software, you know, whether it's plugins or themes. You know, it all comes back to the price of support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you got to be able to get paid to provide the support.
Yep. So, yeah, it not being free is good for the user as well, especially in a middleware situation where WordPress can change, Infusion can change. People don't realize they want the company incentivized to fix that, you know?
Right. That's it, Marcus. I learned quite a bit about Memberium and how it connects to Infusionsoft. And, you know, as with the middleware and then you add in Zapier on top of it, you know, the sky's the limit. Pretty much use your imagination, although what we've also learned that it's very easy. There's a lot of temptation to overcomplicate things, so I think it's best, as we've learned, to just start small, start with add a thing here and there and let it build up over time instead of maybe listening to a guru that says you need this, you know, 100-point checklist, and you go start with that off the bat, and then, you know, you're probably wondering why it's not taking off as you would like it to.
Yeah,
I agree. All right. Well, Micah, how can people contact you online? How can they learn more about Memberium?
So I'm terrible at social media, so I'll just refer people to the website. It's Memberium is memberium.com, and they're welcome to go and hit support and ask questions, and I'll answer those personally. So love to hear from you.
Yeah, and I know that you've got a lot of great demos on YouTube as well, as far as the implementation of the software and the setup and good documentation that people can check out even without purchasing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk to you and answer questions and send you any resources we can without purchasing it. I don't mean to be too scary, but yeah, we're happy to help.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome, man. Thanks for stopping by and donating about an hour's worth of your time for us to inform us about what Memberium is and what it does. And thanks for being a part of the WordPress community.
Yeah, and thank you guys. That was fun.
All right.
So that wraps it up with Micah Mitchell over there at Memberium. And Marcus, I'll give you a chance to do your takeaways from the interview, and then we'll launch right into your plug and picks of the week.
Well, it's like any other thing. You don't want to overcomplicate it, but I am a user of Memberium. I used it to completely replace a proprietary kind of CMS and CRM system that an organization was using, and it worked very well, and it works across multi-sites. So somebody logs into one site, it goes to the other site. So I'm a very big proponent of the plugin myself. And I can't recommend it enough in terms of support as well. Anytime I ever had an issue, somebody was right there to help me along. And even when I kind of let it slip, they followed up and said, hey, do you still need help with this? So I can't Can't commend those guys enough on that. So, you know, for designers, developers out there, I wanted to introduce this to you in the sense of if anybody wants to do a membership site where there's content, but also, you know, those dentists, doctors, people like that that want appointments, want to do follow-up sequences and have marketing automated that goes along with their website, this is a value add that keeps on growing in terms of recurring income to you to provide that kind of maintenance. So I hope that that's one big takeaway for the audience today.
Okie dokie. So what do we have? Looks like we have MailChimp activity. That's your first plug-in pick of the week.
I do have some plug-in picks of the week, Jeff. And yes, MailChimp activity is the first. It's a little different than your typical MailChimp installation. Once activated, it actually shows a new dashboard widget containing a bar graph or a line graph showing your day-to-day changes to your MailChimp list. And this is something that we typically don't see. You have to generally log into MailChimp to see this kind of thing. So those of you that are doing client sites, install this if you're using MailChimp in combination with plugins like Google Analytics in the dashboard, and you've got most of your bases covered right there where you don't have to do all those crazy reports. Another thing you might want to consider is our second plugin, which is called CleanWP Admin Menu.
Yes, I know this one.
Yes, it helps to clean your admin area and your dashboard so that all of those big monstrous big lists of plugins and things that you've installed are clean and out of the way. You can hide them at will. So check that out, CleanWP Admin Menu. And finally, Storylines, which lets you insert a talking point box at the top of your content to show what kind of takeaways the reader might get from the article. So it helps to kind of entice them to keep reading further and show what they might learn. It's called Storylines, and those are my plug-in picks of the week.
That Storylines one sounds intriguing. I have to give that one a look. And going back to that CleanWP Admin Menu, I actually did a wrote a review of that plugin on WPTavern.com. So I might link to that in the show notes when we, during the plugin description. But it's a brand new plugin, sort of like a what would you say? Sort of like, it's this brand new plugin, sort of testing the waters, so to speak. But I know a lot of people have fallen in love with it because it provides a simple checkbox interface where you can hide things. But apparently he's going to be working on some new features where you'll be able to either set the menus to be hidden globally or on a per-user basis. And I think a lot of people, once he adds the ability to hide menus on a per user or user role basis, a lot more people are gonna use this plugin because right now it's just global. Things are hidden on a global level for anyone that's logged into the WordPress backend. So it's already useful now, but I think it's gonna get a lot more useful in the near future. It's a pretty cool plugin. People should check it out.
Yeah, that would enable you to basically once he incorporates user roles and access levels to have your own straight up dashboard with all the bells and whistles on it as you, the admin, but perhaps people that work at a company or an office that maybe you're going to go in and publish simple content or something. Maybe you don't only want them to have two or three things within the menu. This lets you really clean that up and get them away from plugins and themes and things like that. Yeah. So I look forward to that next release.
Like a good example is the top level menu item called Tools. Well, maybe you don't need nobody else, like your client or someone's managing content doesn't need to see the tools menu. So you'd be able to just hide that for their specific user role. And then, you know, in addition to not having access to it, it just makes the user interface cleaner and things are easier to navigate and browse and menu items are actually easier to find. So just, there's a lot of benefits to cleaning things up. And he was also contemplating a smart clean feature where based on if you don't access a menu item within a certain amount of time, it will automatically hide it for you. Now, I don't know how that would go over Windows, well with some people because
Windows used to do that crap. Remember that?
Yeah, so I don't know because I was thinking about it and I said, well, what if I log in and things just start disappearing and that I'm like, what's going on? Have I been hacked? You know, why are things starting to disappear? So I don't know. I don't think that'll go over too well. I think it's better to have manual user input to decide when something's hidden or not, but I just thought that was interesting that somebody brought that up.
Yeah, definitely. All right, bud. Well, that was a great show, man. We covered a lot, and hopefully people can get some value out of this. I always want to bring value to the community and to people out there that are struggling and trying to do freelance work and get by. This is literally a whole new door for you that's opened because of this middleware in increasing the exposure into Infusionsoft. So, Jeff, I encourage the listeners out there, if you're really in that situation that I described, you know, you probably want to listen to this episode a couple times because there were some definite knowledge bombs and examples and what to do and what not to do in terms of a membership site.
Yeah, and you know, one of my biggest takeaways is that it's not just about education. Everything I see online about membership sites is, you know, mostly all about education. So courses, videos, coaching, but I've learned that services, products, anything that you have that is considered of value that people would pay for, you could turn into a membership site.
Yeah, and membership site is probably not even the word for it. This is just content integration into a customer management system that can sort of do mail merge features where you're calling somebody out by name when they log into the site, welcoming them back. It's been so long since you visited. Here's the last product that you looked at. We noticed you didn't buy it yet. And then triggering entire email sequences around it and using Infusionsoft as your payment gateway as well. And that's something that I guess we never really discussed in the episode, but yeah, it does include that as well. So, and by the way, if you want to learn more about Infusionsoft, check it out at infusionsoft.com.
So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffFR0. And Marcus?
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
So for everyone listening out there, I'm working on a WordPress accessibility or accessibility in general roundtable. And I'm also working on a few other shows as well, so stay tuned for that. But until next week, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, everyone. I'm going to try and stay warm, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening at 9:30.